That's good.
Well, that was pretty spiritual. Let's go on to movie reviews.
I'm losing interest, Jeff.
Good.
I kind of really am.
In?
It's a good thing I like you guys.
Yeah.
Because I'm not here for anything other than, like, hanging out and snacks.
All right.
Like, everything's kind of not very interesting. The weekend?
Yes.
With the work was not all that.
Oh, right.
You know, it was there. It was okay.
Yeah.
But it was no big book.
No. Right. No.
I don't think much is going to be a big whoop anymore.
Yeah. Time will tell.
Yeah.
You'll see. It could be like, could be the homecoming princess in an alien parade.
Ooh.
I don't know. She looks pretty happy, though.
Yeah. And I used to just kind of always be some kind of agenda, grasping, needing one thing, and it's like, hey.
Yes.
It's just because I'm feeling better. I'm really like, I'm just sort of, okay, on with my life.
Yeah.
Let's just continue.
Fine. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Who's to say? I mean, you know, 10 minutes from now, you could be a basket case for a week.
I could.
Yeah.
I was a basket case for about a year or two.
There you go.
I'm kind of feeling
like
I'm coming out.
Nice.
That's the story goes.
Yeah.
I used to try. It seems so much comical, but I used to try.
Consciousness is very pushy. And typically you don't know what you're under the influence of. Mm-hmm. Right? We walk around thinking, you know, I'm choosing, deciding, da, 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 da. It's all about me, da, 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 da. If I'm having a shitty day, I can do something. I'll take the right medication. I'll get a massage. Right? We don't see that the whole flow of what's appearing as the evidence of my life is just, you know, kind of pushy force, an almost external pushy force. I won't go so far to say it's, you know, but if you're under the influence of a, you know, strong narcotic or whatever kind of bender, it certainly feels and looks and behaves as if it's parasitic. Yeah. You know, they use they use metaphors like silence or stillness or things like that. We can't help but to interpret silence and stillness from the right conditioned vantage point of what we would typically associate with silence and stillness. But what if it's not that? What if a profound involuntary shift in consciousness is so fucking weird that the best you could blurt out is silence or stillness, but the one that is received by the recipient has nothing to do with silence and stillness, though from your point of view, you don't know what else to say about it, right? It's like the collapse of getting out from under the pressure of the pushy force. Consciousness as pushy force. Getting out from under the influence of consciousness as pushy force. You're done. You know, it's just kind of like that. If someone says, well, what's it like? You know you can't say. Because it's just this. You can't say what this is anyway. We think we can say what this is, or how we're feeling, or what's going on, or what has gone on, or what should or will go on, according to Louise Hay, or, you know, Wayne Dyer, or Deepak, or LMA. Right? But you can't. Only figuratively, right? So the best you have is a figurative reference to what exactly? Nothing, really. And then a figurative reference relates to another body of figurative reference, and now you're off and running. You have a goal, maybe, a path, a thing to fix or do. But you're just swimming under the influence of the pushy force of consciousness conveying to you involuntarily and without your permission that something is going on. that you are celebrating through the inebriation of figurative reference. That's all you are. And so let's say some bozo is walking down the street and they wake up through no effort of their own. And the street's the same, but inwardly, whatever that suggests, they have become released rather spontaneously from the implication of the push reference of consciousness. So now they can't hear, it's silent, it's still. The street's the same, you know, the fire engine just walked by, the parking meter just gave them a $20 ticket, even though, you know, there's still 5 minutes on the meter. And to them, it's like, nothing is happening at all. Because that movement, that insidious, call it insidious, movement or hallucination, the pushy force of consciousness condemning you to figurative reference has gone. Just gone. Left the building. Like Elvis. Elvis has left the building. Now, what will you say about that? I mean, you could say hallelujah, but it might not come to mind. How would you characterize to yourself or to a friend that said, Fred, did something just happen to you? Right? No, no. You'd almost be compelled to mask it rather than, you know, start a website. You could say your first kind of reaction would be just to mask it because it's nothing at all. It's so strange. It has nothing to do with the life that you've imagined you've lived up to that point. That is only maintained through figurative reference, through the anecdotal hysterical movement of figurative reference, which is not coming because of choice or preference, but because of the pushy force of consciousness. That's all.
You know, I'm thinking of one...
You could call it a tushy force, too, but...
A tushy force.
Yeah.
I think of one example of where I've seen an attempt to portray that.
Yeah.
And I think that's Office Space. Remember when the guy...
Yes.
...goes to the hypnotist, and the hypnotist dies?
Mm.
And he's just
and
like,
he's given that
there is no pushy force there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was a funny...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was terrific.
Yeah. So the pushy force, you know, starts exactly when? You don't remember when you were, you know, conceived, born in the crib, 2 years old, whatever. You can't find any evidence for when the pushy force showed up in your life. And who's to say when it showed up, how it showed up? Whether it was like not there and then became there, or whether it was always there in a kind of a latent, nascent, right, is that the word, configuration that didn't take on the stickiness or the rigidity of pattern recognition until you were taught language and object permanence. And things that, you know,
some people
childhood psychologists
they can
talk about.
Remember being delivered, like Dick Cavett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some do. That's true.
So they get it.
Yeah, they have some kind of conscious, apparently conscious, reliable memory of very early, right? Perhaps even pre-birth, you know, experience in the uterus, floating about. An amniotic wonder.
It's right back because I think I was like...
Your mom was taking crystal meth.
I remember like when I was 20, like early adulthood, it was about as far back as I ever did in the world. Even that's really hugely sketchy.
Wow. Huh. So you started drinking around 2 or...
Probably.
I have distinct memories from the earlier...
Nothing. I mean, Zippo.
Wow. Some people would say that's like grace.
I'm shocked by that. I'm like, I can't figure out. I'm trying to remember what happened like yesterday. Let me see. What did I do yesterday?
Oh. Yeah.
That must have been my issue.
Yeah, your issue. your only friend was your deceased grandfather in a tree.
But he was very positive.
But yeah, but he was positive.
Believe me, totally love me. I have no issues.
That's no, you don't have any issues. That's why you're with me. What does that say? Woo! Yeah, right.
I guess it's convenient for your myth that, well, typically there is no memory before the age of like 4 or 3, you know.
Okay.
So that would be like kind of convenient if you, everything was fake anyway. Like nobody remembers that time anyway. Cause
yeah.
It's just, you know, you don't remember before the aliens dropped you down.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of
well, actually, there's, I think there's some sort of a, I don't know, a body memory.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having the weirdest feeling. I was 26 and I said, what? I was there laying there and I was wondering when mommy was going to change me. I had a packed diaper. I was like, what the hell was that?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like,
well, what were you doing at the time?
I should have yelled. It's like, hey.
I think,
boy, I'm wondering.
Dave, I think you would benefit from an adult reenactment.
Unpleasant.
I don't get grossed out easily.
Whatever you need, you can get it here.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
You're indignant, an indignant
okay,
little
type. You could go bury each other up on the cross and have, like, we'll strap on diapers and put more.
Yeah, let's do it.
See if we can regress
the. Fuck the snuggle party. Let's do the diaper party.
Of all the memories, could it be a little, like, some really cool thing? I mean, it's like.
It sounds kind of visceral.
Yeah, well. Yeah, very, very visceral.
Work for us.
Probably some sort of significant sort of, you know, thing that.
If you don't speak up,
some sort of cathartic moment for you.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, as eloquent as Ella May and her ilk can be, and humorous and direct and, you know, helpful in the way that they're helpful, look, something magical happened to them. The pushy force of consciousness just stopped.
What happened with LMA?
It was LMA.
I'm thinking of Little Abner's.
Little Abner and the House on the Prairie and the.
Oh, my Clampett.
Yeah.
Did she stop living or did her body just.
No.
Yeah. LMA's a teacher online.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Dan has introduced people to. We were listening to her earlier, but I only heard her for a minute, so I don't really have anything to say.
You under one is we are, call it what you will, under a presently appearing magical spell, which is the pushy force of consciousness making it appear as if you are flowing through space time in a willful manner.
I get some not so subtle hints that it's got nothing to do with you.
Yeah, well,
not so subtle hints.
It can.
All I ever have to do is decide, I'm not going to stay at work another day. And, like, it just keeps me there. I don't know what the heck.
Yeah.
It's the force does.
There must be snacks there.
What happened?
Some kind of snacks.
Some kind of
You see, when we get all embroiled in the things that bother us that may encourage us to, you know, go see Auspensky or Gurdjieff or go on a retreat or take up noting or, you know, the thousands of things that you can do in a life, mm-hmm. Right? So there's some kind of force that's compelling us to do an exploration of some kind, to believe in someone's idea of what consciousness and reality is or what suffering might be and why suffering occurs. And what to do to, right, replace suffering with something that looks like less suffering or, you know, the end of suffering. You know, the Buddha was He was not short-selling you. He was like cessation and nirvana, you know, like the end of suffering and beyond, right? He wasn't short-selling it. But that doesn't mean a lot of Buddhists understand what he was referring to, or after years and decades of practice, make a hell of a lot of progress, because they might not understand the curious geometry of the nature of the pushy force. And so they think through some kind of, you know, remediation, a superficial remediation like fucking spiritual practices, that you can actually, right, somehow invite or seduce or chase the pushy force away. And you can't. You just can't.
Wouldn't what we're doing now be considered from some observer's point of view as a spiritual practice?
Yes, of course. Why not? Yeah, if you get together and chat about stuff. Yeah, even if it's, you know.
We do our best to keep it superficial.
Right.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, we do our best to keep it superficial. Right. We chase people away. You know, sincere aspirants that want a spirit guide. Aspirant be gone. Sounds like a nice spray. Aspirin begun.
Aspirin.
Is good. Mindfulness, no. Now, I mean, mindfulness can be useful in the way that it's useful if you're considering, you know, the movement and flow of your own thoughtfulness or thoughtlessness, then that's instructive, right? You start to, you find that you have an interest in the nature, the texture, the rhythmic undulation of consciousness itself, which is not just mind or the content. It's, excuse me, it's huge. But few of us, let's say, are consciously or encouraged to tune into how much is going on right under the roof of the pushy force of consciousness. So instead we concoct, because we're encouraged or conditioned or taught or threatened to concoct a story of self, as we are taught to appreciate object permanence and measure and comparison and preference and name and language and object forms and appropriate behaviors, which make us safe when the saber tooths are out for a nibble.
Well, this force of self, or whatever you want to call it, which we explode continually here, it seems. I'm wondering about your typical other practices, you know, chanting and
sure,
the Sunday morning, the Buddhist ceremonies and stuff like that.
Yes.
I mean, people and myself, I mean, I've been able to, you know, just, you sort of go to a different place. You're dividing self.
Yes, of course. Of course.
I mean,
yeah.
This is unusual here, it seems to me. I mean, I haven't seen it anywhere else.
Well, you haven't been around much.
But there are a few in the crowd.
Don't tell him that. Yeah. But you're safe flavor here, Sparky.
It's a different flavor of all that other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the 1%. You know, it's a different flavor, and but I think there's something to be said for that too.
Okay. Yeah. You would know.
I'm totally failed at it. That's why I'm here.
Well, did anybody read that U.G. Krishnamurti obituary that Catherine had sent out?
Vaguely remember. Yeah.
For the son.
Was that? No, somebody.
No, it's not. He's not related.
Not related. Really,
they knew each other.
Yeah, they knew each other. Where at the end of it, people would come and they would ask them questions, and after a while they just stopped asking questions and they would just sit around and laugh. seems like we're really good.
Maybe we're there.
We've hit
the UD plateau. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would tell you just one last little thing.
One last little thing?
One little thing.
Little
element.
Anything.
So I only heard it for 1 minute, but the 1 minute was really good.
Thank you.
So I'd recommend, you know, checking out. If you like it.
Ellie
May starts. Ellie May? I don't know. Okay.
You don't mean L-M.
It was a commercial break.
Actually, I don't know how to spell this. I only heard him say it.
It's kind of fun.
Do you speak her language? You know what she said.
I do. Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go.
I just came from acupuncture.
Relax. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. It's good to know that you don't have any issues.
I'm bored with everything and everyone.
Nice. Rock on. So you came here to make that statement, but you didn't bring a birthday cake? That's her birthday.
Happy birthday.
No, it's not her birthday. No, I'm just saying that was a cathartic remark about a major breakthrough in consciousness. You're supposed to bring a birthday cake.
Yeah, she's born again today.
She's not interested in a birthday cake right now.
Happy birthday. Have some snacks. You're done, right?
Appeals to me anymore.
I love it. There you go. Yeah, that's cool.
And everybody gets on my nerves. And I get on my own nerves.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah, sounds like you've crossed over the event horizon. It won't be long now.
So I'm either like ready to go.
Sure. Yep.
I mean, but I'm not like trying to check out or anything. I'm just trying to find some amusement somewhere that's not going to cost me, you know, get me back into a whirlwind of whatever.
The Nice Guy song is pretty cheap.
Well, I'm here,
and from time to time, it's amusing.
That's the part.
Not really.
Not really. Failed again.
The fine line between amusing and
that's the part that's not working for her. She hears it's free.
It's the Nice Guy song amusement part.
Believe me, if I was someplace else, it would be like a chant thing, and I saw somebody doing something wacky, then I would be really annoyed.
Yeah. So, in a sense, in your present condition, this is a safe place to be. It's like a safe house. Homicidal safe house.
That's where I go.
Yeah. Really. When I come to that group, I don't really want to kill anybody, and that's why I come back. It's a homicidal safe house.
Surely you must want to kill her sometimes.
We can work on that if you're honest, Jason. Rare moments, and then there's Dave.
And then there's Maud. And then there's Maud. I know. Well, Lisa has that way of just shifting it around, so it's.
Yeah. Jamie too.
Oh, hi, Joel.
Oh God. When you get
look, you can't. I don't think you can not. I don't think you can avoid this. You know, feeling this encounter. The pushy force of consciousness has you by the short and curlies, and you feel compelled to be interested in shit. You know, so that you can create an additive life experience, right? A satisfactory life experience with, like, Bernie's tagline, a future to believe in, right? And that's what you want. You want a future to believe in. You want to rock. You want to rock this thing, but you don't recognize, you don't see, because it's not yet time to see that you're under the influence of the pushy force of consciousness. So that all of your endeavor is really just a pile of.
Whoever's making up the decisions about whether it's time or not time.
Yeah, you want to talk to them.
Like, look, we need to have.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody's getting
yeah. Yeah, no, there's no question about
adjustment
it.
Adjustment Bureau or whatever that
is. Yeah, the Adjustment Bureau. Right. Yeah, it's the cosmic suggestion
box. Call up the Department of Justice. Excuse me.
I know.
I'd like to talk to you about
this. Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah.
Does anybody else feel that way? Because
all the time. Yeah. We all do, all the time, yeah.
Well, then, Jeff, what's the point? I mean, have you come to some of it? I want the big stuff, the big thing.
Oh, you do, do you?
You don't have to have a
no,
point.
No,
no. I know. I know.
Apparently,
well, see, but the reason we want the big thing. This is curious.
I know it's an addiction. I got it.
Well, just shy of being an addiction, you could see that this kind of existential pressure of being as eloquently as you're putting it, just you know, unentertainable. Mm-hmm. You've reached the wall of it, and having reached the wall of unentertainability, you could see why you'd want some kind of relief from that. Anything, right? Yeah. That's right. Unfuckability could. Yeah, that could be.
That could be a problem.
That could be a problem too. I can't. One wants to be with me. Oh my God! Oh my God! Yeah, really. That's right. That's right.
It's a very sad thing for sure.
Yeah. Welcome to the Asperger Snuggle Party.
I know.
We got a snort over here.
I know I was diagnosed with that.
I don't know. I think we've gone off topic. So it's the resistance to being completely taken out that fuels our interest in please give me a remedy, please give me a remedy. I'll do anything for a remedy. And whatever it takes, we'll do it because we've been really pushed so tight up against the wall, and now we're breathing our own nose. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's perfect. It's great. What else? It's not like you're going to get out from under the influence of the pushy force of consciousness without going through some similar metaphoric confrontation.
Yeah. I think this dialogue actually brings that because it brings in the question, what are you really getting from all these bullshit endeavors anyway? That really brings that into question. When you start questioning it and start, you know, take another look, it's like, maybe they're not so, maybe, you know. Before you know it, all you're left with, fuck.
Yeah.
And this crazy.
Yeah, and this, the crazy pushy force of consciousness wants to be entertained. It just, that's what it does best. It wants to be entertained. It loves entertaining itself.
So it's entertaining. So
even your misery.
Entertainment, your, I'm entertaining. Yes. It's entertaining.
Yes, yeah. Even your misery for it is just,
it's good, yeah.
It's like, yeah, let's, Marvin, what are you doing? I'm just channel surfing Earth, Mom. You know, what do you got on, Lisa? Yeah. Really.
She lives in
really. Well, you see, consciousness is channel surfing, and then it finds you. It's like, this looks like a good show. I haven't seen this much angst since I, you know, left the Janie channel. What is that, the mindfulness belt okay already?
No, cool.
We're mindful.
So, Jeff, in your humble experience...
I don't have such a thing.
Okay.
It's yeah. Either grandiose or I'm lying about it.
No humility, yes.
My humble experience, yeah.
I am.
Really.
In your sphere...
Sphere. Of?
In your world, in Jeffland.
Jeffland, yeah. Really.
Jeffland.
Mm.
Has there been anything after this sort of up against the
No, it just keeps getting worse. So it's so bad. It's like it's so bad. You can't even.
She's trying to kill.
You can't even. You can't even speak.
No. Or invite others into it.
Back. It's so bad.
So misery loves company.
That's right. This is a Lonely Hearts Club. Misery loves company.
Born up into hell, basically.
That's right. This is a hell realm.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know what it was that I promised you, but it's just pretty much misery loves company. Fuck you.
I wanted to see who wanted to hang out with him in hell. That's all.
That's right.
He was the worst sucker.
That's right. I'm Hellboy. Yeah, there's nothing, you see, you can't...
I mean, we get that we're idiots, we know we're never going to be anything but an idiot.
It gets worse.
It gets worse.
It gets worse, yeah, because as long as you're happy, you know, coming up with, let's call it insightful notions about yourself, it just gets worse. It gets so bad that you will run out of everything.
And saying you surrender...
No, it knows better, it knows you're lying. It does. It knows you're lying.
Yeah, that's not it. Like, as if you have the free will to do something like surrender.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have the free will to surrender.
Right? I mean,
fuck that free will thing.
I'm telling you.
I'm sorry for the fussing and cussing.
Who are you apologizing to? No one listens to this shit. It's just us.
Somebody at home now that I'm
really
there.
What
like,
are they talking last, about?
Last week when I was listening, it said there were four people listening.
Oh, wow, four. Well,
oh, no.
Huh. Hey, well, I hope they send
me
in.
Me and Nan. And
there you go.
Maybe Catherine or something.
Who knows? Voldemort.
Voldemort. They're talking about me again.
Strangely enough, I watched that show Lucifer, and I know it's a whole, you know.
Oh, yes, Lucifer, yeah.
I'm starting to relate to it. The devil. But it's like, I mean, there's this thing about, like, he talks. I mean, I know it's like a whole. I wonder who does this show, like, who's the writers of this, because whatever. But they, you know, they talk about, like, he talks about he's bored with himself and, like, bored with.
Yeah, bored with being so
and
evil.
It's, like, starting to make sense. Like, okay. I could do this for a little while, and that might make, you know, and I don't really want to lose, but I'm not really winning at anything. And,
yep, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fun. You're watching the curious spiritualization of Beelzebub himself.
I think the devil's running the show.
Could be.
Devilish, like,
if it weren't for that level of discontent, we wouldn't really be interested in something other than just quote normalcy or
discontent.
Yeah, it seems that way.
We all have a certain level of discontent, and I think that's why we're interested in looking.
I pretend to think
sure.
If I sort of stare off into space or something.
Yes.
And
it will leave you alone. You want to be unnoticed.
No, that's sort of doing something, you know.
Well, yeah.
But that's probably just a creepy, weird lie anyway.
Yeah, I like it. Creepy, weird lie. Uh-huh. That's a good t-shirt.
Religion, a creepy, weird lie.
Underline creepy.
Underline creepy, yeah.
And highlighted.
Well, here's... As we're feeling and thinking and discussing and living and feeling and thinking and feeling and thinking and thinking about what we feel, and you see, we still become curiously fascinated by the stream of, right, metaphor that is showing up in our consciousness as it appears to opine on itself and uses us, you could say, voyeuristically, to opine on itself through what you might refer to as your experience. And it's dreaming. It's just dreaming out loud. And so in this so-called process, you see over and over again how all of these curious, you know, frothing forth of yourself is really devoid of meaning or implication. So that means you run out of fascination. You run out of the capacity to be, let's say, unconsciously or unwittingly entertained by the frothing forth of yourself. And there's no longer any meaning associated with it, no sentimentality associated with it. You can no longer convince yourself of having a sufficiently compelling storyline that defines you, or that you need to do something about or share with your therapist. You really come quite organically and sometimes cathartically to the end of this being about anything. Oh. And you are invited to deal with that. And for as long as you are fascinated by what appears as the rumination of self, that convinces you or itself of a story being told that perhaps has some kind of implication about which something should be done, whether it's an amends or, you know, service. And then you seem to be, appear to be that. But it's very, I would say, perhaps debilitating to see that all of the things that you think are motivating you to be or do or feel or think or act are actually not what's motivating you. You don't know what's motivating you. This is functioning on a scale of impulse that can't be found. That's how small it is. It can't be found. It will never be found.
You believe that you have to give up hope of being able to manipulate it to get what you want.
Well, that's right. You might go to the bookstore and return your copy of The Secret. Yeah.
Or give away all your books.
Why not? Sure. Anything can happen. Right. Yeah. Or keep the books. You know, I mean, it's right. Yeah. No action need be made. It's like Ralph walking down the street and the pushy force of consciousness just leaves him spontaneously. He doesn't have nothing to say. Nothing to say. No website. No catharsis. No teaching.
Who's Ralph?
The imaginary.
Imaginary
Ralph. Ralph the imaginary enlightened guy.
Can he be a rabbit?
Could be. He's a creepy what? What was the t-shirt?
Creepy Weird Lies.
Creepy Weird Lies. Ralph, the master of creepy weird lies.
Some people have those experiences and it's a nightmare for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Very debilitating.
Well,
can be.
I assume it's because there's this need to, like, get back to, you know, where
I guess there's enough of them to feel like it's a nightmare, right? Otherwise,
yeah, there's enough of something left that mm-hmm. is yeah. that is yeah. involuntarily taken up a combative yeah. relationship with, mm-hmm. you know, with the spectrum of the divine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
may you be so fortunate.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Up between two worlds.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, between weird. A Shiva Lingam and a hard place.
What's a Shiva Lingam?
Ooh. You don't want to go there.
We'll end up back at Diapers.
Yeah, we'll end up back. Diaper snuggle party. Asperger's only. So something...
I've heard that word before.
Something curious occurs when...
The holy rock.
Yeah. It's a phallic symbol worshipped as Shiva. Right. They pour milk and ghee and flowers over it. And
thinking it would be stuck between that and a soft place. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, oh, that hard place. It's two hard places.
Well, that's right. The phrase is between a rock and a hard place.
You're right.
Okay.
Just trying to make some sense of something.
Don't do it. It's like that great joke I love. You know, Jeannie walks into a bar and the bartender says, "Hey, this isn't BYOB." What? What? I mean, it's really one of, you know, it's a great joke. So few understand it. You don't know, you don't get it. See, she doesn't
get
it.
A genie?
A genie. A genie walks into a bar.
I'm talking about Genie
Xander. No. A genie walks into the bar, and the bartender says, hey, this isn't BYOB.
Ah.
See? There's a win. There's a win right there.
It's not a great show.
Come on, it's a great show.
There's a genie in a bottle.
He was just carrying the bottle, his own bottle.
Oh,
he wasn't allowed to bring his bottle in.
Yeah.
I thought you would just leave your bottle somewhere.
See, it's a good joke. Genie walks into a bar. The bartender says, hey, this isn't BYOB.
Yeah.
He'd
be like, I got to come back for my bottle.
Why do you know I didn't have that discussion?
This, see, this is what happens when you go to hell. This is how the jokes are. They're never funny, but they don't stop. You must be in hell. These jokes suck.
You end up dying on stage the way you did in life.
So the pushy force of consciousness is, as you can tell by now, in your, you know, young and vital life, it's pretty unrelenting. It's just unrelenting. It's inexhaustible. It is unperturbable. It doesn't care what you throw at it. It's going to continue to convince you that something is occurring that has something to do with you. And no matter how much mindfulness you do.
Well, it doesn't seem like it's going to stop, though. Like, I don't know because I'm not awake or whatever, but...
Huh.
Like, if it's always proven.
That's when you put that.
Really.
I'm not awake.
She used air quotes.
Yeah, she used air quotes.
I'm not enlightened. I haven't realized anything.
Uh-huh. Wow.
She does do that.
God, Suzanne, you're so authentic.
What's his name who died used to do? Remember?
Someone died?
You know, the guy.
Robert,
not
William.
Well, I don't understand how anybody. It's
like trying to explain to a child something. You know, like,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, wisely so. I mean, this is very curious. It's not like someone has discovered a thing or knows a thing that they can then confidently report on or report about.
Yeah.
You see? So it's absolutely self-obscuring nonstop, but there's nothing to be obscured.
Well, but it's obscuring for something. Some.
No, see, that's where there's no sum. There's no sum.
Well, what the hell is obscuration then?
It's, I don't know. This is a strange conundrum, because obscuration would have to suggest an implied duality of someone or thing being successfully hidden from either itself or something or someone else. Yes?
Yeah.
That's the notion,
yeah.
Right, of this incredible, let's say, effulgence of self-obscuration. Yeah. But there really is none. Because there's not an object or a subject or even something verifiably occurring,
so
where obscuration could even be so.
So obscuration would appear as a reality from one perspective, but from the inside of a black hole,
yeah,
it's,
yep,
what the hell is that?
Yep, what the hell is that?
But aren't they both equally real? You know.
Well, but real can only be an accusation.
Yeah.
Real can't be real. It can only be a presumption of real.
Well, if it's form is emptiness, emptiness is form.
Yeah.
What's the form, you know, then?
What's the emptiness, then?
Well, you can't say.
You can't say about either.
Seems like form is concrete.
Doesn't it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, the English language would make it seem so.
Makes it seem so. But if you look, if you go to... What is the evidentiary basis for our experiencing whatever this is or isn't as concrete? Well, it's felt. And it has to be felt. Mm-hmm. All right? A concrete is not just an idea, and we appreciate that it's just an idea.
Yeah.
But it's just the idea of concrete might have something underneath it, which kind of captures your, you know, curiosity. What evidence is that? That it's felt. That whatever is going on, whatever the engagement of reality with itself is, appearing in whatever you call your atmosphere of consciousness, it's felt. And so concrete then becomes a, what would you call it? A byproduct of an idea that is felt. But if you go into the felt, you're not going to find what it is that's felt or what it is that's feeling that, like, which is felt.
It's like a felt object, which makes no sense at all.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You see, we think it's convenient to think, oh, yeah, this is so. This is concrete, or this is real. This is reliable and steady, predictable, manageable, perhaps even controllable if you've read the right book. But it's not. It's just, and where one goes to come up with a robust conclusion like concrete has to go to felt, that, fuck me, something's going on. And then you derive whatever pleasure or accusation or reality from that this is felt. But if you go into, which you can, because there's nothing here but that, if you go into what's felt, what will you find? You won't find anything. You won't find anything, not yourself or not that which is felt. And so the conclusion that we come to of concrete turns out to be a specious hallucination. And yet this which is felt or feeling itself, right?
I guess subatomically there's the space, right?
Go under. Yeah, right. Go under. Because, you see, there's nothing there. If you look into, if you poetically look into the heart of the proton, you will just find chaos completely transcending what we consider the cordial boundary field of space-time.
Yeah, like if you follow the vibration of speech, words, it just...
Yep,
you know.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so our dear friend Peter Brown, you know, likes to emphasize no matter where you go, not talking yeah. about location necessarily, but that works too.
Mm-hmm.
Where you go, as in how about right here, considering that which is being felt, what do you find? Open, strange, weird shit appearing. Just, again, open, weird, strange shit appearing. It's not like you can actually get into a destination or bring whatever it is you think you are to a place. It's just, it's vaporware. You're vaporware. And yet the vaporware is so curiously compelling, or our so-called capacity to, let's say, register or speak about vaporware through dualistic language, through impression, through vocal, through sound, through barking noise, through the resonance that comes off your skull when you say a word, or the resonance that goes into your consciousness when you hear a word. I mean, our capacity of conjuring is just, I mean, you know, it's good. We could actually all be on one of those TV shows, you know, like in, you know, one of those talent shows. What do you do? Simon, I'm just this. You know? Simon says, so what do you do? Well, what do, Simon? You know?
That's a good question.
Right? Like, don't be a wise guy. You know, you're here on, you know, Let's Make a Deal or, you know, The World's Something or Other. What do you do? I don't really know, Simon. You know, I don't know how I got here. I don't know what my special talent is. Yeah, they'll just throw you off the stage, you know, wisely so. But look what you're capable of doing.
Yeah, so was that somebody solved the Wheel of Fortune, which is one letter.
Oh!
Did you see that?
Wow, one letter, and she had like a vision?
Dang, there's like three words.
Oh my goodness.
One,
that's
one
visionary.
Solved the whole thing. Yeah, is this the same guy recently who solved almost every he solved almost every puzzle with very? It looked like he was cheating. It looked like he had the information.
Is this Savant?
Probably the same guy.
Is this Savant?
Well, at least he's putting his talents to good use.
There's a clip on it.
Yeah. Dana, what are you doing after the show?
Puzzles.
That's right. Puzzles.
That's pretty good.
So you see the pushy, what we're playing around with is articulating.
You do that? What did you say?
Really?
What did I miss?
Back to you.
I don't even know what that is.
Back to you.
What we're playing around with is articulating.
You see, all of a sudden you're all chilled out. You walked in here and I, you know, you couldn't find anything to please you and now you're relaxing and snacking. There you go. Night Sky Sangha to the rescue.
You're going to sound like Fred.
I know. So this incredible magical capacity to dream in situ and appear as if something is occurring, something's responsible for what it is that it's occurring, that you are somehow in the mix of what it is that is occurring, and that what you think and feel about things is somehow cogently useful to you. And that you now having successfully accused yourself of being one thing or another, now you can figure out how to be the next thing or the next better thing, either by acquiring or getting rid of something.
Well, that ship has sailed, but yeah.
Yeah, that ship sailed. But then you come to this, you know, wonderful conclusion of, well, its form is concrete. But when you go into form with everything you've got at your disposal to engage with, feel, consider form, you won't find anything.
That's what Peter was saying. I was listening to him earlier, and he was like, those objects you think are out there, there is nothing there. There's just the perception of it.
Well, you know, if you're, let's say you're doing a soft throw softball, right, underhand softball, and the person at the plate wallops the piss, and that hits you right in the face.
Yeah.
That sure is going to be something. Right?
Yeah.
And so what we call physically, experientially, relying on, you know, a brain that has not been completely rattled by a 50-mile-per-hour or faster softball.
That sure feels like form to me.
Sure feels like form to me.
Yeah.
That's the other T-shirt. Sure feels like form to me. Yeah.
I am totally high on some spiritual pursuit. I think it works in miracles. I fell off my bike.
Yeah.
And it, like, really rocked me. I'm like,
yeah. Wow.
And gravity can be a
thing. Oh, right. Gravity can take you down.
Yeah.
What, you were listening to it or something?
No, I was just phase of my life feeling utterly invincible. And I.
Oh, man. Life lesson.
Yeah.
So we are gifted, in quotes, by this that gifts itself with an incredible tapestry and spectrum of hallucinatory implication, non-stop. But it doesn't mean that it needs to end, or that by virtue of it being the way that it is, one has to necessarily suffer. See? So a kind of sense of identification occurs, let's just say naturally, or who knows why, in the midst of the effulgent, right, nature of phenomena expressing. a sense of identity occurs. We can't say when or how or what it's made out of or whether it's a mistake or not. We can't really say anything about it, but like, it sure feels like form to me.
Yeah.
And then this sense of identity becoming understandably so proud of itself wants to feel better about things. What it doesn't recognize is that the miraculous movement of the pushy force of consciousness has made this curious plasma appear as if it could be self-individuated. So that's why this kind of yoga, not that it's a kind of yoga or anything, I don't know what it is, I wouldn't dare to call it anything. You know, at least Peter Brown has the cojones to refer to it as radiant presence.
Ella was kind of making fun of that a little.
I know, it was fun to see.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of it. I know. So thank you for your presence and your radiance, she said. She was giggling.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
She could say my face is radiant, and that's such bullshit.
Yeah.
More radiant than
did she talk? Wait, I'm confused. What?
She was doing a phone call today.
With Peter?
No. No, I was pretending to be Peter.
Oh,
but not intentionally.
Brown comes up on the screen like that little.
I know, and then he puts in the open doorway, and I'm like. Bashing Peter.
Oh,
but
really?
I'm like, am I? I hope I'm not saying this to him directly, because this idiot.
I'm sorry. I'm a permitted to impersonate him by his own express invitation.
I didn't realize that you had that it was the Fuse meeting. I just thought it was a broadcast.
YouTube, it's Google Hangouts, so I don't.
Let's move on.
Yeah, because we were
talking about this while we were recording.
So the sense of individuation that comes about quite naturally, nobody knows how or why, including the Buddha, with this effusion, makes it appear as if we are under the influence of something, still individuated and under the influence of something as per, you know, living in the body on earth or wherever you might be, you know, wherever you might go. And so this sense of individuation gets annoyed, stops being entertained, runs out of things to do, runs out of path, runs out of faith, runs out of justification, runs out of hope. It runs out of everything. Why does it do that? Well, hooray, hurrah, haroo, because it sees that it's just hallucinatory. And so all the things that we were capable of investing in as ameliorative for just how shitty that we feel don't work any longer. And you think that you're fucked, but actually you're in really good shape. What?
It seems like the world just ends then.
Why?
Like if you're no body looking,
there's nobody laying claim, there's nothing.
There's still all these
no, we haven't gotten there yet. We just got to the being miserable part.
Yeah. Don't rush it.
Yeah, we got a lawyer in the being miserable.
Stay with the misery for a while. Get a lot of mileage out of it.
Well, I'll do that, but yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good news when you run out of runway and there's no hope.
Oh, God, it's the best news. It doesn't mean it feels good, you know. Sure feels like form to me. It doesn't necessarily feel good.
Yeah.
But from the perspective, the arcane perspective of, you know, seeing that this isn't real in the way that we insisted it's real, it's good news when you've run out of justifications to do anything about anything.
You're just going to leave us there?
Well, is the program over?
We need some.
What time is it?
She was hoping for a more dramatic climax.
It's we
can
there,
whip it up.
We're going to climb like that, show the path, and we climb the ladder to the
light. Oh, nice. Let's climb the ladder. Yeah. Yeah, there's that. Well, but that's it. That's the gesture. You see, if you want something. If you want something, and I hear you, want something more, what is it that wants something more? It's the myth of the individuation that wants something more.
Well, how can you, can't you enjoy it? Can't you just keep leaping back in?
How's it going?
Depends on the day.
So, all right, so that's the answer. It depends on the day. Yeah. Yeah.
Except not.
Sure. Yeah. That's
right.
You
can't win for losing. No,
you lose
for winning.
You can't lose and you can't win. Yeah.
Well, when it's exposed, it seems that things just kind of shrivel away, and you know, there's just
yeah.
I don't want to shrivel away.
I know.
Well, it's things. It's all things.
Yeah.
Like it's dried.
Well, after I went to see the counselor that was court-ordered, their advice was, well, we know you like to expose yourself, but find a new way to do it.
Yeah. The night sky song?
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Really. You're already on a list. Maybe you could... Yeah. Consciousness offender.
Consciousness—that's creepy weird.
That's another good.
Yeah, yeah, creepy that's weird. That's right, creepy yeah. weird. Good. Mm. Sure feels like form to me. Yeah, consciousness offender.
It's like a little fire for yourself, like that fire picture.
Like that. You see, there's no explanation for anything because whatever you could find that might demand or insist upon an explanation is a figurative metaphor that's made up out of thin air. Mm-hmm. So there can't be any explanation for anything.
And yet this is a verbal form.
Yep. Ta-da. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's times when you're like in a... I'm going to just... This is all metaphor word. You know, you're driving and you don't know how you got from point A to point B, and it's just sort of like you're.
Yeah.
But you're. There's
I
no.
Always think of you when that happens.
I'm saying everybody has that experience. I'm saying they do.
Yeah.
Lays the land. Everybody has that experience.
That's right.
All right. So. And you can point back to that as like you were in a state of like nothingness.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something nothing. I don't know. I get them back into consciousness.
Yeah.
What does that word?
Well, see, what here's what's fun. If you point so-called back to a memorable experience, if you create a hypothetical situation or experience that you once had or you read about that someone else had or that you might like to have someday yourself, you see, you're just dreaming some kind of metaphoric smoke in space that fills you or speaks with you in a felt manner that seems to conjure an environment or content, context, or some kind of experiential vector to point toward that might have some kind of implication for you. See? But, you can't, there's nothing. There's nothing.
That's it. Everybody wants to feel special.
Okay. Well, maybe that's it.
I want to feel like, ooh, I did have that experience.
Well, it makes sense that if you're individuated in the first place through no fault of your own, because of the pushy force of consciousness conjures a sense of individuation, because all of this phenomena appears to be being felt, and that it appears to be being felt, which is irrefutable, it might as well be being felt by me. And so, but once this being felt by the likes of me, well, the next right. stop on that train ride is special. Okay. Yeah, but it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if the myth of individuation occurs, you're already special. Mm-hmm. Because you're Frankenstein's monster. It's alive! Right? Beer, wine, bread, fire, no.
Well, it's that vantage point thing.
So. Yeah, the vantage point thing. That's another good t-shirt. It's the vantage point thing.
Somebody's always like, you know, the vantage point is always like...
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What's your name? Vantage point?
Yeah, bingo. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. the entirety of what we call our lives and the meaning that we give to it is just a spontaneously appearing, right, cauldron of vantage point.
But vantage point is the dream. Is
yes,
the
that's right.
So being felt, no problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's being felt by me that's all of a sudden,
yeah,
it's like, yes, okay, now
yeah,
this is form.
Yep. So. Being felt is no problem. Being felt by me, oh.
There we go again.
There we go again. Yeah.
Well, because form always thinks like, well, I got to get out of, I can, if I'm hungry now, I got to go get food or something.
It could, yeah, right. I don't know what emptiness does when it's hungry. Really.
Such a driving, you know.
The open gate, the snackless snack. This chocolate doesn't taste like anything. I'm in hell.
Well, that's the way it's feeling. That's what Jesus is describing.
I know.
I couldn't even say that. Like,
the chocolate? Oh, no, Lisa, don't say it. Oh.
But I like the last Right?
Yeah. Chocolate doesn't taste like anything anymore. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
I know, it is.
You see, we can have a conversation like this and nobody has to say it's just happening.
Yeah.
You see, it doesn't even have to enter the atmosphere. You don't have to make some kind of curious allegation. It's like, so what?
I find it always helpful when it's pointed out that, though, this is just happening.
Okay.
Even in this.
All right, well then, why don't you say it, Suzanne?
Just happened.
All right, covered.
But it's appearing.
There we go.
There aren't many people here.
Boy, I thought that meeting was going to go south. We just pulled it right out of a tailspin.
What about that character I was talking to? How did everybody say it? It's really
hard. It's not happening. It's just happening.
Sorry.
There's a character, yes.
Who's that guy?
Pepe Le Pew.
Handsome prince.
I'm trying to teach you waves and.
Oh, gravitational waves. Yeah, the physicist.
And the thing that spits out things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The protons.
Yeah. Protons are black holes, yeah.
Protons are black holes.
Yeah.
Protons can make plunks. Other protons, well, actually, to make plunks, and plunks are sort of the building blocks for protons, neutrons, electrons, and other plunks.
Right.
Protons are actually very, like, much, they come in pairs.
Okay.
Hanging out in group, in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
They're very attracted to each other.
Yeah.
And protons are like black holes, they can spit out.
You said plunks and protons.
Yeah, and all
they
that.
Come in pairs.
It's all scientific stuff.
Oh, yeah, scientific.
Like Noah's Ark. It's all right in my hair.
Really?
And it had something to do with gravitational waves. I can't see it. It's all in my mind.
Really?
Quarks are in there, too.
No, the quarks are around
this. Around somewhere.
Nasir, right?
That's him.
The Resonance Project.
That guy.
The Resonance Project. Hasim? Hasim Nasir?
Yeah.
Nasir Hasim?
Something like that.
Yeah,
that's him.
The Resonance guy.
Sure
yeah, well, that's exciting stuff.
Long curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
Play too.
You can watch his wife give them orgasmic birth on the internet.
No, for
real. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she has an orgasm while the baby comes out.
Oh, geez.
In water.
Oh, what a way to be born.
How many views?
That was probably a lot. Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think?
There's one
the interesting thing is,
dances during birth? Orgasmic dancing?
Orgasmically dancing through the labor and full on throw.
Wow. I'm going to watch that one.
God,
you said that to me then.
I'll also find it.
Yeah. God, you gals have it down.
It's like you're constantly re-giving birth to yourself, like
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm.
No.
Lisa, I think you're ready for a website, Lisa.
Huh?
Are you ready for a website?
A website?
Yeah.
That says what?
I don't know.
I'm fucked and I know it.
If you're fucked and you know it, hit the donate button.
Now, whatever. Just make sure there's a donate button, as they all do. Really?
That's gonna be my theme song. If you're fucked in,
you know it.
Hit the donate button. Oh, just be singing when you open the
button. That's good, right? Right.
Everybody needs to like the donate it. Button.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Barney song. Hit the donate button. I'm telling you, all these enlightened people are gonna run out of constituents. They're all gonna be wandering around an airport. Looking at the vending machines longingly. It'd be great to have a camera in the vending machine and see like Peter and Paul and Ella May and Gary Weber, and they're all standing there like zombies at the airport staring into the vending machine longingly, hoping something will fall out. Like Payday or...
Ooh.
You know, like Payday or Spicy Fritos or something. Like, I know, that's good.
We've got enough snacks in front of us.
Yeah. So a wave, an unceasing wave form or wave emptiness, call it what you like, is, right, just if full gently appearing on 10, nonstop, regardless of the mood, regardless of the temperature, you know, the quality of the weather, whether you're feeling well or not feeling well, sated or frustrated beyond recognition. It just keeps, right? No matter how we feel or think about whatever this is or isn't, doesn't appear to put much of a dent in it. And yet we are, you know, thriving or thrashing about to make some kind of sense to self. Or have a meaningful explanation, secular or spiritual, about why things appear to be the way that they are. Or that there might be something actually underneath the delirium of self-obscuration. But there's not. So no explanation can be given. Because there's not two things. And if it's one thing, it's a little thin. Even as one thing, it's a little thin. That no explanation can be given. Because you won't find a starting point, or a genesis, or a building block, or a motive, or a method for this unabashedly being whatever it is or isn't.
It's heresy, because what you're saying is it doesn't matter if your life sucks or is fabulous. There's no goal, there's no better or worse, up or down.
To the fumble bum on the bad side of the pushy force of consciousness, it matters completely. But if one were to be somehow miraculously relieved of the pushy force of consciousness, you wouldn't be able to find a sufficiently meaningful differentiation that you could even refer to as your life sucking. But again, that's a little steep, because if you get hit by the softball, it sure feels like form to me. Right? So it's...
It keeps coming. The pain could just take over and you dissolve into the pain.
Who knows?
That can send
you.
This is part
sure.
of...
Sure.
Yeah.
You can do a diagnosis for anything.
Yeah.
But isn't this the sort of the pattern recognition in a way? The whatever...
Well, that's what
whatever
I know. Somebody,
this is.
It's going to re-pattern into...
But then there's this noticing of that. you know, this pattern recognition. And pretty soon it's like, oh, I feel, I guess I'm feeling kind of up today. Oh, man, I'm bummed out. You know, why am I so bummed out? Oh, yeah, I couldn't sleep last night. You know, it's like,
yeah.
but it's more indifference.
You know? If the observer dissolves, then there's nothing. There's
sure. Yeah, pretty soon you don't even need that.
It can. I would imagine it from time to time, though it's perhaps rarely reported on.
Yeah.
You know, someone walks down the street, the pushy force of consciousness leaves them spontaneously through no effort of their own, and they drop dead. You know, physically, biologically, drop dead.
That would be the
extreme.
Or the metaphorical thing.
That's right.
I'm not talking metaphorical.
Okay, you're talking what? Flesh and blood?
I don't know. I don't know.
See?
Yeah.
That's right. You don't know. Not to single you out. Nobody else around here knows either. That includes the people in that building, too. They don't know either.
That's going
a little far. That might go a little far.
There's Bobby G characters that, like, appear and disappear. Yeah. Maybe that's like,
sure. That's got to suck.
What do you mean? Like, people who...
Living forever or something?
Yeah.
What would be the point of that?
You know,
our protectors.
I'm
35,
and I'm like, okay.
That's right.
I'm done. I mean, I'm not going to kill myself, but I'm going to run out. You know,
that's right. I'm sated. Thanks.
I have these like 20-something patients who aren't married at 24, and they're freaking out. And I told them, life is really long. You know,
it's really long. Yeah.
Really long.
Somebody will find you.
At least 24, it's really long.
Someone will find you as long as you're still fuckable when they do. Otherwise, whoa. You should be coming here for a long time.
Apparently, at least you'll have a little more time
for violence.
How much of this stuff creeps into your sessions?
Don't ask her, no. She's going to break down. Don't go there, Jamie. She'll break down.
That sounds good.
Right. She's such a poser. She doesn't want anyone to know. She's just living in erotic prurient interest 24/7, including her clients. She doesn't want them to know. The world is eroticism. Pepe Le Pew.
Talk to Freud about that. He started that.
Yeah, that's right. He started it.
Don't take a bow tie. Didn't you wear a bow tie?
Something. Or a gazote. Or whatever
that's
called.
Oh, yeah, no, because he was French.
Yeah. So he was French. A cravat. That's right, called a cravat.
A cravat.
Leif told me a story about...
A small scarf.
What's a gazote?
That's something you choke yourself with.
Yeah, right.
A gazote. A cravat. Leif was shopping with John Klein in New York City. And then we went to Barney's on 7th Avenue, which was still open at the time. And this story means nothing. It's just funny. And so he went in there with John, and they went to the counter where the cravats were kept. And John said, show me your cravats. And so he brought out this stuff, and John just went like, whoosh, 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 I'll take these. That's the end of the story.
Oh, my God. That's a great story.
I know, yeah.
I was
yeah, it was. I mean, it's like, how did you do that, John? You know, you didn't like, you didn't color coordinate. You didn't think about your wardrobe or your favorite shirt or anything.
A city.
That was a city. He, in the city, he was shopping in the city, and then used his city at Barney's to pick three cravats out and just purchase them on the spot.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. I thought it was a pretty funny spiritual story. Reminds me of a joke. Genie, well, never mind. We're in a hell realm. This keeps repeating. Ah, Groundhog Day without the groundhog.
Like eventually, you know, it's the next day, and
yeah,
the late groundhog. That's all
right.
Done.
Yeah. Eventually, it's the next day. Good enough. You can notice the theater of the absurd as your own consciousness appears on the scene. uninvited by the likes of you, and then has 1,000 things to say about everything. Mm-hmm. This is theater of the absurd. You are the clown. You are theater of the absurd. And we don't see it. So we feel that this, right, effusion of consciousness that I call my own as an object is defining and means something, if not to me, hopefully to other people that will validate me, you know, between here and the day that I die. And this is just theater of the absurd. You are a mime in the big ring under the big tent. You are the clown. That's it. A certain relief, let's say. A certain joy or bliss, even.
Good thing you have that beret on.
I know. A certain something, and it's not a something, appears on the scene as you surrender, but not in the way that we typically mean it. Oh, I am the theater of the absurd. Never anything more, never anything less. And you're like, okay. It's just like, okay. Ankle bracelet for the remainder. I'm on a day pass for the remainder because I am theater of the absurd. And it's not like you drop dead. That can happen. Perhaps it has. But it's not like that's going to be the next so-called biologic consequence of this.
There's no observer, though, in your, you know, Schrodinger's cat. There's nothing there. How can it be?
Nice.
Nice. Is that like a compliment?
Sure, I mean,
whatever this is or isn't.
I can't speak about Schrodinger's cat, so it's kind of amazing to thought. Yeah.
I'm glad you're using those micro-dosing mushrooms. That's good.
Kombucha tea.
Yeah, it's put a new confidence in you.
Did you notice that LA was drinking that mushroom tea?
Oh, that's right, yeah, for her health, so-called. Yeah. It's a bit of conjecture, but I appreciate that's all we have.
Yeah.
That says, if then, yeah, there's nothing. It's like, are you perfectly sure? Right.
Who's perfectly sure?
That's what I mean. So not being perfectly sure, it could very well be not that.
It could be either or, yeah.
Or 1,000 either ors.
Yeah.
You know, it loves me, it loves me not, it loves me, it loves me not, it loves me, it loves me not. And you don't know which pedal you're going to end up on.
I mean, this is construed, of course, but, you know, I sometimes get this impression that there's this zone of inflicted reality, you know, it's like listen and see and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And beyond that, there's all this probability stuff, you know.
Sure, yeah.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Oh, it's funny you say that because I was just reading something.
Let's still go to the
What is that Schrodinger's cat? Oh, I haven't heard about this cat.
Is the cat dead or alive? You don't know until you open the box.
Oh, really? Was the cat in the box?
And
who was the cat in the box?
No, that's the cat in the hat.
No, they put the cat and what else? They're
called animal control.
The poison or something in there or something like that. What is it? They put the poisoned cat food in the box and put the cat. Is the cat alive or dead?
Everyone goes around talking about it, but nobody knows what they're actually talking about.
It's quite a concept.
Schrodinger's cat is just the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Yeah.
Right. With a Higgs boson, like up its.
But it has to do with a cat, so, you know.
Well, then it becomes a cute animal video for the YouTube.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. By playing around the way we do, you know, content comes and goes, effervesces, disappears, turns into a joke, is never to be seen or heard from again. Maybe there's a conclusion or something or other, or an idea that something is going to follow something, that could follow something if I, X, Y, Z something, and nothing worth remembering that's been spoken, nothing worth, you know, feeling, acquiring, getting any benefit from that's been spoken or shared or whatever. It's just... generously effervescing. The dilemma, if there's a dilemma, is the outgassing of this involuntary sense of self or individuation. The pushy force of consciousness has somehow convinced itself that because this is felt, that it's being felt by the likes of you. And then there's that isolation, there's that existential panic that accompanies a sense of isolation. Because now one imagines that you are separate and individuated, and of the nature of time, as, you know, the product of birth or something.
Invulnerable and
yeah.
At risk.
It pours in so quickly. Right. So, a hallucination that is considering itself has this curious quality of being awake. A hallucination that does not know it's a hallucination, right, remains under the influence somnambulistically of the hallucination. But a hallucination that turns somehow and sees that it's just appearing as a hallucination. New information is now coming into the system.
But it doesn't work to just say that. The belief thing doesn't do you shit.
No.
You can banter around with words and concepts and this and that unless you get an experiential sense of it. Forget it.
That's right. Yes.
It doesn't do anything.
Yeah. No, as just, you know, a book report. It's not that. Yep. It's not that valuable or useful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feel it. You feel it. You actually become confronted by the curious chaos and other, you know, emotional symptoms of a hallucination waking up to itself and beginning to see that it is really just a simulation. A self now, it becomes a conscious of itself as a simulation. And as it does, you could say it wakes up. It's waking up. It's waking up. It's waking up. It's no longer completely under the influence of its own, right, appearance. And so new information comes in. And as we play around with this curious way of articulating and fooling around and telling jokes and looking at the hallucinatory nature of present experience, something else is lit. It's not just a person complaining about what is occurring or not occurring in one's life. You've actually taken a break from, you know, the delicious indulgence of complaining about one's life to feel and have a more vital relationship with consciousness itself, whatever it may or may not be. And through that kind of a process, that kind of yoga, what you might call intelligence or sensitivity or nuance is lit, is nourished, is fed, and it, you know, shines.
Well, shines. There's total availability in that.
Yeah.
And not sticking on to other stuff.
That's right. Yeah. Freed from the insistence that you are no more or less than a life, you have more room to dream. With more room to dream, you'll find more curious things to be found, to be seen or felt. And they may include, all along the way, and at some so-called point, release from the pushy force of consciousness.
I wonder if the Buddha would have talked about the pushy force of the Buddha. Maybe the more of all these people.
Be the happy Buddha with the long earlobe is going to consider that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's more serious Buddhas, forget it.
Yeah. It's
probably a word that translates into pushing force. Asian word.
Yeah, it is nice. I like it. But we'll drop it in a week. We'll have some other thing.
Yeah, why stick with that?
But I like it right now, I'll tell you.
Yeah, every poetic wave of metaphor is kind of right, stimulating.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, stimulating. You get to notice the quality of your own experience through another metaphoric body. And that's fun because you can see that it's basically unending. You don't have to use the same metaphor on Tuesday that you used on Sunday, or et cetera, et cetera. You can just keep finding new, strange ways to...
Nothing runs out, right?
Yeah, it doesn't run out.
It doesn't run out.
That's right. Hmm. Novelty and denial are both bottomless. Awake, not that it is a thing, and its imagined opposite, never run out. Samsara does not end. It needn't. Nirvana does not end. It needn't. It's the imagination of being interested in a preference that drives you crazy.
The imagination of being interested in a preference.
Preference.
Yeah. I want it this way.
That drives you crazy. Because once comparison and the most minute little, you know, seed or pinprick, yeah. Once comparison arises, you've individuated. You've become an object.
It's hard to get out of that one.
It's impossible. Don't even try. No, fuck it.
But
don't
like
try.
You see that's all that's like it just keeps happening.
Yeah.
Like how many revolutions have we had? You know, it's just like
right. Yeah. You keep bringing more people into the world, we'll just keep genociding them. the great sixth extinction is underway.
Yeah, but that's all. It's like whatever, you know. It's just
whatever.
So what blows itself up, and I mean whatever, you know. So it's some imaginary thing against some other imaginary thing.
Yeah. I mean, if the earthquake happens and you don't die immediately and you're under the rubble for a couple of days, you know, and the dogs don't sniff you out, that's like getting hit in the face with a softball. You know, sure feels like form to me.
It's so fun because that's what the person was yelling out.
Yeah, really.
Trying to get them.
It sure feels like form to me. Can I get a hand here? Yeah. It's like Saw. Consciousness is like Saw.
I never saw it, but I
right?
heard about it. Yeah.
Nasty motherfucker. Just kept figuring out how to mutilate people. Da 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 da. And you're like, enough already. Yeah. But that's what this is like, right? To me, it's just this kind of a self-mutilating factory of weirdness.
Mutilates itself, and then it revolts.
Then it revolts. Well, thanks for coming. Any questions?
Really? You're just going to leave us here?
Notice those moments when they come, and I dare you, I bet you they come a lot more often than you give credit for. Notice those moments when they come where you are not to be found.
How can you notice them if you're not there?
You'll notice them.
Suzanne, you are right on the money tonight.
There's just noticing.
She got like an A+ in logic.
A+.
But it doesn't make any sense.
No, you don't make any sense. Notice those moments, as fleeting as they may be, when you are not relying upon or not the product of consequence. They occur all throughout the day, generously. generously.
You can notice though in the aftermath.
No, no.
You can notice.
No.
You're over. In the best
you're part. Overthinking it. you're trying to out Advaita, the Advaitists.
It's trying to retrospect that you can notice.
No. No.
No, that you think about it.
It is conscious, palpable, if I can go so, be so bold, enjoyable. It doesn't have to be so strangely exotic or, you know, uber Advaita.
Wouldn't you call it just sort of a suspension of whatever?
The words are absolutely up to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like suspension because it's just like relax. Everything's totally...
is better than suspension.
Now, sometimes I'll find myself like standing in my kitchen.
Yes. Completely naked. Wondering what it is I'm going to have for breakfast.
Well, that's enough.
You've been there?
I'll find myself standing in my kitchen just like, who's furious around me?
Sorry, okay. Busted.
Oh my god.
It doesn't have to be so exotic. You don't have to outthink it. It's just this. If we're hell bent on trying to outthink this for some kind of ultimacy, because of the shit that we've read.
I'm not even trying. I'm just trying to understand how it can be. You know, like, I don't even know.
Who can answer that? And with what vocabulary?
Yeah, okay.
With what knowledge?
So it's just not an interval. It's just not.
Here we are.
You don't know it when you... You'll know it when you see it.
It's here. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is it. Not that it's an it, not that it's a this, or an is even.
Well, even the words speaking aren't necessarily indicative of anything.
No.
About...
Right. Yes.
Like, yeah.
Right. So you relax from a notion of there having some kind of causality, or possibility or impossibility. Because here... Okay, this is impossible. Well, fuck you, it's still here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so, I'm trying to think of, like, okay.
Yeah. See, when we feel that way, it's so close, right?
Yeah.
In order to be so close, you have to be curiously already inhabited as an object that's considering the texture of present experience and in a sense of kind of longing that it appear or be felt as some kind of ultimacy. Right? And it's the imagination of attempting to occupy this through the lens of some kind of ultimacy, which keeps you in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keeps you under the influence of the imagination of being an object. Then that relaxes.
Sometimes I find myself standing in my kitchen or someplace.
Back to that.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, how long have I been standing here? Why am I here? What was I doing? And then I get, there's the existential panic, right?
Yes, sure.
But it's like I'm standing there like, and I don't know if that's a dissociation.
Who knows? What's this?
Is that
this? What's
something
this?
To be more, you know, not to, like, to be, like...
Don't do anything with anything. You certainly can't do anything with something that you think happened in the past. So leave the past alone, and don't do anything with whatever is appearing presently.
Without trying to not do anything with anything.
Yeah, right. Don't make it a commitment to not do anything.
I do nothing. You're nothing. Saying I'm doing something about doing nothing about nothing.
That's right. That's how quickly it will convince you that doing something might be right up your alley.
But you're saying notice those times when you're not engaged in
sorry that
the whirlwind of your life.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And that might have been the moment, but the minute I'm aware of it, I know.
Thank you, Jamie.
All right, James.
If you get it figured out, make sure you give us a call.
Let me turn this off and we can. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I hope it was as good for you as it was for us.